So you all have been patiently walking the journey with me on this teaching that started with one message that I gave at Faith Works, and it became several messages at our church. And it's been really an amazing journey for me to walk. And it's so today is the last of this series of messages for now. It's not the end of my journey, nor is it the end of your journey to discover what the idea of being a church is, you know. But really, I just felt that where we've been in the idea of understanding that word ecclesia, that word which is the word used by Jesus to describe the church, and that word which is used by the apostles to talk about the church, it's powerful, packed full of good stuff. And I've been on this journey, and it's been wonderful for me. One of the sources that I've used for this is a book by Ed Silvosa. It's actually called Ecclesia. So Ed Silvosa is Argentinian revivalist, and God's used him in bringing transformation in many places, and it's been wonderful to get that resource. And the other one was a book by somebody who's working with at the House of Prayer, and he wrote a book on prayer, and it's called Ecclesia Arising, and seeing the prayer movement as a significant part of what the Ecclesia is about. So it's been really interesting. I mean, you can't really unpack all of that in a few talks, but I really wanted you to know some of the sources that God's, you know, brought a greater understanding. I always felt, and you know, over the years you've been a part of this community or church, if you ever heard me speak over the years, that I always felt that the church was more than just a building, right? Church is more than just a gathering in one place. Although, it's important that we gather. Because the Lord says, don't forsake the gathering of yourself. Don't forsake the coming together. It is something very powerful that takes place. We gather together. We corporately worship God. You know, we cheer one another on towards love and good deeds, right? Like, that's what he says. There's a place of gathering. And we equip and train and we get, you know, ready to go out where we need to go. But really, the church is not a pond or a swamp or a lake. A true church is a river. When we think of the church as a local entity, that's it, then that's what it becomes. It becomes about a gathering place. And we miss out on a lot of what really our function is. The idea here, yeah, part of what we do together and function can happen here. But how much of your 24 hours in a day that you, and how many hours of those days in a week? And out of those hours that you have in a week, you're here 2 hours of that time. Yeah, of course you can go to, right. You can add a few more hours, even if you added 6 hours in the run of all that time. Well, what am I going to be the rest of the time? Well, we're called to be church 24/7. It's not about a religious gathering and a get-together. It's about carrying, listen to this now, it's about carrying the very presence and the power of God in my life and through my life, which I'm a carrier of the kingdom of God. I'm a carrier of the King of Glory, right? I have the presence of God in me. So what this is about, when he's changed me, he's saved me, he's transforming me, he's conforming me to the image of Christ, that is to translate into the place where I go. So Jesus says, therefore, as you go, what are you going to do? Make disciples. As you go, what does that mean? That means wherever I go. Because you're not just hanging out here, and that's the only place. You're hanging out at college, at university. You're hanging out at your workplace. You're hanging out in your home. Everywhere you go, the idea is that I need to recognize that I embody the kingdom of God. Jesus is in me. I am the church. In that moment, maybe one, but when I gather, when I go to a place, the atmosphere that I carry of God should shift the place where I'm at.
That's
right. And sadly, so often, the atmosphere of the place where I'm at contributes to shifting my attitude and my behavior. Like, for example, your workplace may not be the most pleasant. Or your household may be up in chaos. If I don't recognize that where I go as a worshiper of God, that my worship to God isn't just exclusively reserved for 2 hours on Sunday morning,
Amen.
But where I go, wherever I go, my worship of God, the river I carry, the very presence of God that I carry, the very power of God I carry, can bring transformation
Amen.
Into that area that God calls me. But if I think of it as a pond or a lake or a swamp, that's where it stays. But as a river, it moves. And as a river, as it goes, it's changing things. What's interesting is it's giving life wherever it goes. How many of you know that story of the river in Ezekiel chapter 47? You remember that? Well, Ezekiel has this vision of a river. I wasn't thinking of reading it particularly, but I think it's worth looking at. I had thought about it earlier, but I think it's good. Let's look at it. Ezekiel 47, and it's this picture that Ezekiel gets in Ezekiel 47 is a picture of a river that starts out with a trickle, starts out with a little trickle coming from the threshold, from the temple of God, and then it becomes something amazing as it moves along. There's lots in that. That's a whole message and a half, maybe a book worth of stuff in that chapter. But I certainly don't have time to go into that in detail. But I want you to look at this. So in Ezekiel 47, the man brought me back to the entrance of the temple, Ezekiel 47, verse 1. And I saw water coming out from under the threshold of the temple toward the east of the temple. The water was coming down from under the south side of the temple, of the south of the altar. Then he brought me out to the north gate, led me around the outside outer gate facing the east, and water was flowing from the south side. The man went eastward, measured it in his hand 1,000 cubits. Well, it's like 1,500 feet. Okay, so he goes out and measures this distance, and it says here, and I was in water ankle deep. Remember that? And then he measured another 1,000 or 1,500 feet and led me, and that water was what? Knee deep, and he measured off another. It was waist deep, and then he measured off another 1,000. Now the river was so that I could not cross over it because the water had risen and was deep enough to swim in. A river that no one could cross. He asked me, "Son of man, what do you see this?" Then he led me back to the bank of the river. When I arrived there, I saw a great number of trees on each side of the river. He said to me, "The water flows toward the eastern region, goes down into the Arabah." Arabah is like a desert place. It's a place where there's no life. So where it enters the sea, when it empties into the sea, the water becomes fresh. Swarms of living creatures will live wherever the river flows. Come on.
Amen.
There will be large numbers of fish. Praise be to God. Amen.
Amen.
I like that. Some of you got that one, right? Yeah, I can see that. Large numbers of fish, because the water flows there, makes the salt water fresh. So where the river flows, everything will live. Fishermen will stand along the shore. Spread their nets. The fish of many kind, like the fish of the great sea. But the swamps and the marshes will not become fresh. They will be left for salt. Wow. Fruit trees of every kind will grow on both banks of the river. Their leaves will not wither, nor will their fruit fail. every month they will bear, because the water from the sanctuary flows to them. Their fruit will serve for food and their leaves for the healing. In other places, it talks about the healing of the nations. The leaves being for what? Healing of the nations. Isn't it interesting that really the idea here is when the presence of God comes into my life and I really take a hold of the fact that I'm a carrier. You're a carrier of His presence. You carry His presence. And the idea is that wherever I go, I'm bringing change. Now, it doesn't always happen, sadly, because sometimes the stuff around me changes me. But if I recognize who I carry, what I carry, the presence of God, there's a shift. There's a shift knowing who the ecclesia is. There's a shift in knowing that whatever I bind on earth will be bound in heaven. That's what Jesus says. I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. There's an authority granted to the church. So your circumstances should not overcome you. You should overcome your circumstances. But it shifts with the mindset first. The mindset shifts with the mindset. You can come on up here, Carrie. Just spot right there. Shifts with the mindset. Understanding where, who I am, and wherever I go, I'm going to carry the kingdom of God. Carry His presence. Hey, Marty, good to see you.
Thank you.
God bless you. So there is a place where God wants to do more. And He is. He is. He's bringing His kingdom wherever you go. Wow. All right. I want to mention a couple of things as a little bit of time that we do have. I want to mention two thoughts here. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus has already won. We talked about that. The battle is won. He's already declared it is finished. His resurrection is the proof that what He came to accomplish and do has been finished. Now, it's a matter of application. It's a matter of walking in that reality. It's a matter of knowing that Jesus is interested in transformation. Okay, I want you to think of this now. This is, see, I'm just going to put it this way, and Ed Silvosa has a couple of ways that he puts it, but I'm going to put it this way. He talks about our paradigm needs to shift. I'm going to say it like this. If our mindset, our thinking of what it is that God wants to accomplish shifts, then the way we live in the world in which we live, our attitude will make a difference. Because how many things are you involved in right now, are you engaged in, that are like obstacles, that are like hindrances, that are like the enemy coming against you, whether it's in your mind, in your spirit, in your soul, in your body? Anybody here? All right. Well, what do you carry? You carry one. Let me tell you something. It says, greater is He that is in you than he that's in the world. Okay. It says that the gates of hell will not prevail against it. He says, I will build my church. The idea is there's something very powerful and significant in carrying that authority. Now remember this. Who's the authority in? First, it's recognized in Jesus. Jesus, I will. Now, the thing about it is, He's given you the grace and the ability to carry that authority. But never, ever, ever forget that it's His authority. Because the minute I step into that place, oh, well, I got all of that. I can do this. I can make this person change. I can shift this atmosphere. Hey, guess we put ourselves in the place of Him. Who do you think you are? So So we need to step off the throne of whatever it is that we're trusting and recognize he's still on the throne. So in other words, if his presence is to come into a place where darkness exists, when oppression is, where depression is, where sickness is, where infirmity is, I have to recognize the power resides in him. Amen. So never lose sight of that fact, that the gates of hell will not prevail against the power and the authority that's in Jesus. He's all authority in heaven and on earth is given to who? Jesus. Now he says, you're going to walk it out. You're going to carry it out. And you're going to bring it in. But never forget who you're linked to. Never forget where the source is. He's the source. Because the minute I step out of that place, then I'm in my own flesh. How many of you tried forcing something on somebody in your own flesh and ability? Knowing that, hey, you know what? I'm trying to move this mountain. It ain't moving. I'm trying to move this mountain. This mountain stands in front of me. Jesus said, speak to the mountain. The mountain will be cast into the... Well, why is it not? I don't know. Somehow maybe I'm just trying to push too hard, you know? So just step back into Jesus. Step back into the place that he carries that authority. And give him permission to do it as he chooses, as his will, his purposes are, because that's the other thing. His word, his promises are yes and amen. Are you agreed? But how often are we impatient to try to make it happen? How many of you have loved ones you're praying for and seeking God to do something in their life and you haven't seen it yet? Okay. And it frustrates us, right? Guess what? When it frustrates us, it's partly because we're looking to put ourselves on the throne as to how it happens and when it happens. Is it possible that we need to get off the throne to Jesus, your kingdom come, your will be done? Yes, Lord, I know. Now, I'm not saying it's the only thing, but often it's like I'm trying to twist the arm of God to make it happen. When the Lord said, you just trust me, let me, and so I will build my church. Remember that. That's a good phrase. First thing is to remember, he's going to build it. He's going to shake it. He's going to move it. And when he does it, you'll find greater things are happening because it's his power and authority being released. Amen. And then the other thing is a general principle that we need to have our mindset on is transformation. When Jesus says, go and make disciple, he's saying, go make disciple of all nations. Okay. Jesus wants his kingdom to transform not only you personally, but I said the other day, he wants to transform your family. He wants to transform your workplace. The transformation, the discipling community for you. Think about it. What's your nation? I'm going to put it that way. What's your ethnos? You know the word there is ethnos. What's your community? What's your city? What's your town? What's your village? Well, we think, oh, Charlottetown, Stratford, Montague. Well, maybe it's your family. Maybe it's your workplace. Remember, I am a worshiper of God. I carry the presence of God, the worship of God in me 24/7. So when I enter into a sphere, that sphere that I enter into should shift. Whoa. Somehow I'm bringing church as a river into that situation. I think it's starting to click here. I hope it does. Because, and then what happens is I recognize, see, I said the other day, the power of the New Testament church was that a small group of people made such an impact on that region that they said the world is turned upside down because of what they carry. It didn't happen through preaching. It happened through practice. It happened through a mindset that they carried. So remember that. So that's another thing to keep in mind, that this transformation will take place as I recognize, you know, that kingdom of God is shifting, that the Great Commission is about discipling nations, not just individuals. I am to disciple, I am to bring the presence of God into these situations. And what's interesting is, you know, you'll be amazed how, oh my. You're going to say, no, this is radical preaching. How about having church everywhere you go? Right. But let's all want to go further than that. Because when two or three are gathered in his presence, he is what? All right. That's church right there. I want us to get out of that definition that we have of church. Yeah. And the church is a river. And what's the main purpose? Is to make disciples. To bring them into a knowledge of Jesus, to teach them to observe all that I've taught you. Remember, that's what Jesus said. Go make disciples of all nations, teach them, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, teach them to obey all that I commanded you. Right? That's the Matthew 28 commission. All right. So, Jibu, you're working, and oftentimes you're traveling with a companion. True? Mostly alone, but there's times you do.
Yes.
Okay, no matter, I'm just saying, okay, you're with co-workers, so at times, is it possible that just the fact that you know that you're carrying his presence, not that you need to do anything yet, knowing that the atmosphere in that vehicle is going to shift because your presence. And you start even praying. See, when I recognize that, then I'm going to talk about, so once I recognize how I'm thinking, then what I'm doing will come from a place of a mindset. If it's coming from a place of a mindset, then it makes a difference. And we'll call that a paradigm. Are you with me? You know, a paradigm is how my thinking goes. You know, it's like, it's going to, so remember that I'm here to change, bring change to the nations how about this? How many of you believe that the work of redemption or the work of atonement is not just for my soul, but the work of atonement that Jesus has come to redeem all things? Right? Right? He's come to redeem all things. He's come to bring his kingdom into places that like, another way of putting it would be, I like this phrase that Ed Silvosh uses, another way to think. He says, it's understanding who we are, what we carry as the Ecclesia, and understanding that what we carry is to bring an end to all injustice.
Amen.
Hey, all poverty. Hey, what does that mean? He talks about it this way. Elimination of systemic poverty in every dimension. Now, this is what he talks about. Poverty in the spiritual. Poverty in the relational. How many know that there's poverty in relationships? Hey, right? Poverty in the natural, in the material, the physical. That's what we talk about. But if Jesus says, I have come, he said in Luke 4, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to preach the gospel, the good news to the... If I recognize that what I carry has the ability to dispel and to change this gospel. Okay, let's use it this way. It can happen on a personal level. So I carry the gospel into a situation and a person hears it, receives it, and whatever poverty they're experiencing, they personally experience freedom. Boom. They're set free from that, right? Maybe it's relational poverty. We minister to people who have issues about relationships and all of a sudden God sets them free to deal with their stuff and relationships restored, right? Are you following me? How about this? If there's societal, I mean, you're going to say this is crazy, but I want you to think, if there's societal injustice in these areas, is it possible that we got to step to the next level?
Amen.
That our role as an ecclesia, our role as a church, now does that mean I get politically involved? Not necessarily, but I can influence.
Amen.
I can influence those who influence. I was thinking of this a little broader here. I have no idea, but I want you to think of this. You know, I have only a limited influence. So do you. Some of you have more influence than others. True? Depending on your people you know and everything else. But are there people that you know that have greater influence? Come on, don't sit here. Yeah, well, maybe you don't know them personally, but you know about them. Right? All right. How about we start praying for those who have greater influences? It's possible God may give me an opportunity to have a greater influence, to make a difference in a larger global scale. But hey, as being a part of the ecclesia, the church of Jesus Christ, which has power and authority, I can pray. That's why prayer is so critical here. To recognize that, or whatever, it may be more than prayer. I'm just going to use an example. I'll pick on somebody here. Somebody here know a mayor? Anybody here know a mayor of a city?
Yeah.
Okay. How many do you think can have audience with that mayor, maybe as a friend? Okay. Think of this now. Is it possible? And I do, because I tell you, when I was thinking of this, I said, oh my God, Lord, help me. Because I don't live in Charlottetown, but I've had so many different personal encounters with the current mayor. It's like I bump into him all the time. And he knows me by name now. Well, I don't think I'm all anything, but other than the fact that the Lord's given me some favor here. Can I go? And I felt the Lord even say to me, you know what? I think now's the time to go ask if you can actually ask him for things that you can pray for him for.
Amen.
Personally. Because he's seen me at different functions where he shows up, and I'm thinking, yeah. And he's known me historically before he became mayor because I was in the city doing ministry. Is it possible that I'm just using it as an example. God may bring us into a place where, now I don't know, but maybe there's injustice, maybe there's somehow the influence of God's principles, God's ideals, God's kingdom can go into their minds. And who knows what can happen? I have no idea. All I'm saying is let's get our mindset broadened here. Expand our horizon. Think bigger than we think. Because of the increase of his kingdom, there will be no... Come on. The government will be upon his shoulder, and of the increase of his government, of his kingdom, there will be no... When Daniel interpreted that dream, or saw that dream of a little stone coming out of a cleft of a rock, a little stone coming out of the... Oh, whatever, the rock, the big rock, a little stone. Just remember that. He saw that stone coming out and it hit the image of this beast. Remember that? The king of Babylon had this vision of this beast, you know, the head gold, you know, like all that. And it hit this beast and it crumbled it. You know what that image is? That the kingdoms of this world are going to bow to the kingdoms of God. Now you're going to say, well, no, yeah, it's a fanciful idea, it's great. Hey, listen, one day it's going to happen in reality. How many know that? One day in reality, the essence is that he's going to be Lord, right? But part of the purpose, I believe, that he has called us and he's left us here on earth is not... Now, please remember, the first thing and the foremost thing is that we need to bring the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, into the hearts and souls of people so their lives are transformed. But why is our life transformed? So we can bring transformation in a greater measure. Amen. And then another, we call it principle that would help shift our minds is, I've already touched on this, I didn't phrase it this way, but he, Ed Silvosa phrases it this way. He says, our labor, our work, is our worship. Okay. How many know the scripture? Whatever you do, do your work heartily as for the Lord rather than for men. Do you remember that passage? Oh, I thought my labor was so I can get some money here, pay my bills. Well, maybe it would make a difference if I started to see that my labor is my worship. I'm just talking mindset here. I'm just talking about, is it possible if our minds shift, if our thinking shift, that will make a difference in the world we live. All right. So those are the things that are important. So it's like when our thinking changes as to what Jesus is really thinking about and the impact. Hey, by the way, do you know there are times that it did happen? How many know the church has influence? I told you this before. We talked about it before. We've discussed this before. How much has the Christian faith, we'll call it, impacted education over centuries? Hey, think of every university, every college. What's their names originally? Something to do with God. Something to do with the Bible, right? Maybe not so now. How about hospitals? How many had a Christian influence? There had been times that I think the church understood that there was a difference that we're to make. A bigger difference. And it opened doors, greater doors. And it just went like that. So I just want us to get thinking again of the message of the kingdom of God. I have no doubt that when Jesus talked on the principles of the kingdom, read Matthew 13 again, and you'll find in Luke 16, other passages which talk about the kingdom. When he talked about the kingdom of God, he talked about its influence. It's like a leaven. Hey, it's like a little leaven goes into the dough and it permeates and it makes a difference. It changes the composition of the dough. We have to have faith to believe that that's what God's desire and intent and purpose is. Amen. So that's one thing, the mindset. Now I'm going to wrap it up here with this. I did talk about this last week a little bit, but the second thing is, so our mindset, when our mindset is such as that it's the kingdom of God that we carry, it's for the transformation of the nations. And yeah, I believe it's speaking of nations as well, but it could be any influence group that God's put me in. I think of this right now. How many watch YouTube or Facebook or you know, if you're getting anything on social media, how many have heard of this artist, Kanye West? Okay. If you haven't watched it or seen it, because I didn't know much about him other than the fact that he's a billionaire and he's a music artist that used his money to make more money. And how about this? How many of you know that he has influence? Whether I like it or not, I'm not giving you... Personally, I'm of the opinion that whatever's going on, Jesus is getting glory here. At this stage, I'm just... And guess what? Here's a person of influence that has the headlines, particularly social media headlines, and having services in jail where people are giving their life to Jesus, going and taking church out on the streets and just doing it like just different ways. He's using a platform that he has, influence that he has. Well, what am I doing about it? I know about this. I'm on my knees praying, thanking God. I'm on my knees saying, Lord, protect this man. I'm saying, Lord, let it be that the kingdom of God advance. Are you following me? So there's a place where the Lord... So Saturday nights when we get together, some of you know this, some of the things that we pray for are God somehow use these influential spheres like education, like media, arts and entertainment, like movies and Hollywood and music, and government and others that we pray for. But, you know, somehow penetrate those spheres, penetrate those places, God, that we're going to see transformation happen. A more power in the presence of God will come through those who have influence. Hey, we can influence the influencers. I might not be an influencer on a big stage, but guess what? On my knees, I can make a difference. Whew. So, Lord, let it be. All right. Last week, I shared this, and I'm going to wrap it up with this really quickly. I said last week in Luke 10, in verses 5 to 9, we read a scripture, Luke 10. Jesus said, so the method, here it is. If I have a mindset of the kingdom, I talked about the method. Jesus gave the method to the 72. Remember, Jesus said to the 72, when you go, what are you going to do? When you go to somebody's house, you're going to speak peace. Hey, where's that? You got that passage up for me soon? Oh, look at that, Luke. When you enter a house first, what are you going to say? Peace. All right, now, wherever you go, remember I said your house could be your workplace. If I know that God's behind it, if I know that his purpose is to change society and make a difference, bring justice and peace and righteousness and God's presence into the world, when I go into a house, what can I declare? So we're wrapping this message up with those thoughts from last week. We speak to them, we can speak with that sense of authority, sense of confidence. This is the heart of Jesus, that it's not going to influence me. The negative situation is not going to influence. I'm going to speak peace, which really the idea is I'm going to bless the house. I'm going to bless my workplace. That negative situation, it can take me down. It has the possibility, but can I bring the light of Jesus into it? Well, that's what he says. Peace, speak peace to the house. And then verse 7, 6 and 7, just keep going. Verse 7. And then not only do we speak peace, speak blessing, then it says stay there, eating, drinking, whatever they give you for the worker deserves. Well, the idea here was not only do I speak peace, I fellowship. I make myself available. Knowing that I carry the kingdom, maybe I go to Tim Hortons and meet this person, have a coffee, or have a meal, share a meal together. In those days, this was a common custom. People would go house to house, have meals. Whatever it is in our culture today, how do we get together today? Maybe send a text. Communicate. Let them know you care. Third would be verse 9. Third is listen to the need. What's the need? Hear the request. If you're there telling them what they need, before you listen to them what they need, it's not going to go so well. How about you listen to what they need? Oh, you need healing. What are you going to do? Meet the need. If they're hungry, what are you going to do? If they don't have clothes, what are you going to do? If they're lonely, what are you going to do? So Jesus says, when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was thirsty, you gave me a drink. When I was lonely, you came to visit me. You know what's interesting? After he described those who were the sheep, he says, enter into the kingdom. You're my sheep. You know what he said? While he was doing that, he actually was talking about nations. He separated the nations. Wow. He has a lot to say about nations. Okay, I know this is kind of maybe over your head a little bit right now. I'm talking about whatever sphere of group of influence that you have. Let it be transformed. So you care for the needs. And then the last part of verse 9, heal the sick who are there and then tell them. Then tell them. Then preach the gospel. Interesting, isn't it? I know. Wow. I remember hearing something from somebody. It was Paul Reed. How many remember Paul Reed? Revival in Belfast. If you've ever been to Revival in Belfast, Paul Reed is the pastor, Robin Mark's pastor. So Robin Mark comes and does the Revival in Belfast. Anyways. But Paul Reed, I still remember a message that he shared a while ago, and this is kind of closing it out here now for the message today. But he would say, you know, we kind of think it's got to be like this. When we encounter somebody, okay, we want to bring the kingdom of God to them. We want them to hear Jesus, about our faith. You know what we end up doing? We tell them, you got to behave this way. So we ask them to behave a certain way. And then after they behave a certain way, we expect them to believe the message. Or then we say, now you belong. Did you hear those three? Behave, believe, and how about this? You belong. And because you belong, you have a sense of belonging, a sense that you're cared for, that you're not an outsider. Understand? Then you bring the message. It's received. And God will do the rest, and they'll behave the way they should. You know, oftentimes we're the ones that want people, you know, because it's in us. We think we have to change people's behavior. And especially those that we love and we care about, our family members, and we think they ought to be doing better. How about we just love them where they're at? God increased their faith. And eventually they're going to behave the way God wants them to behave. I want you to think of this. You're going to say, well, where are you getting all this? You look at Jesus' model. He sees the man who is a sinner, who everybody in society thought was a rascal. He was a tax collector. Oh, you want to say, well, they're all rascals. But these tax collectors were evil. They're wicked. They're actually taking more money than they should. It comes to this, and this man, he's looking for Jesus because he's so short, he can't see Jesus, so he gets right up there and climbs up on a tree, and he's looking out, and he says, oh, there he is. There's Jesus. He thinks, well, nobody, and the other thing is he's hiding too because he doesn't want anybody else to see him. But Jesus sees him, and Jesus uses this principle. Let's go to your house. I want to go to your house today. Everybody said, you got to be kidding. He's a sinner. Oh, Jesus. He's a friend of sinners. Look at the Samaritan woman. Everybody said, hey, you can't touch that woman. She's a woman. She's a half-breed woman. She's not even a full Jew. Lord, help us. Father, this week, may it be that God would give us eyes to see that Jesus, without judgment, without condemnation, without criticism, without holding anything in our hearts that would, you know, that would make a judgment is so, you know, is the enemy's thing, you know, where we need to reach out to these ones with the love of and the compassion of Jesus. I'm glad that I don't have to make anybody believe or behave. It's his job. I can give them the message, give them the option to believe or behave, but it's God's job to make it happen. I mean, give them the teaching. You know, I can give them teaching, right? I'm praying this week that God's going to give you opportunities. This is the end of this series of messages. I'm going to go on a bit of a Christmas thing for a few weeks. It's Advent season, but it's all going to be good. But I want you to get something here. The Lord has given us an opportunity. What an opportunity. This is the season, guys. This is the season when people's awareness is heightened. Now, maybe they don't equate Christmas with Jesus. They might equate Christmas with Santa, but don't you have a chance then to tell them what it's all about? I pray God will use you in your invitations this week or this month, that God's going to invite you to share Jesus in a natural flow of life. Nothing I'm going to force on anybody, but hey, conversations are going to take place. I pray God's going to open doors for you. Amen. In Jesus' name. To love somebody. Maybe this is the time when there's a generosity, spirit of generosity, a spirit of giving, that God's going to give to you that compassion and a generous spirit. They're going to open doors. Amen. Tis the season. Hey, I didn't say this at the I said it at the beginning, but I'm going to say it again at the end. You're going to carry the peace of Jesus. This is one of my messages for Advent, but I might as well give you a piece of it now. Peace on earth and goodwill to men is the message that's heralded. So I pray and declare over you as you walk, as you live, as you move, as you have your being this week, and me too, that we'll be able to say peace on earth. Whatever peace earth we're walking on this week, we speak peace over that earth. Amen. Peace over your earth. Peace over you personally. That's good. Peace on you first. That's earth right here. But peace over the earth where you walk, where you work, where you live. In Jesus' name, I speak peace of the Lord upon you, upon your household, upon the places of influence that you have. And God open doors that we would be able to extend the kingdom of God, that we'd be able to share that the kingdom of God is right here. And give people an opportunity to receive Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is the Prince of Peace. Amen. What we carry, we give out in Jesus' name. We bless you now. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance, his light, his love, his glory, all that he has. He lift it up over you. And may it shine forth from you as you go forth. You will experience peace. You will be filled with peace. And you will give away peace. In Jesus' name. Amen.